Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Minneapolis is John Ackman. John is a vice president at the Global Ethics Office for U.S. Bank. And today we're going to be talking about some interesting homegrown compliance training that they did. First of all, John, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Yeah, great to be here, Adam. I'm so happy to be able to have the conversation and talk about compliance and ethics.
Well, very glad to have you. I'm really interested in learning more about what you've done with your compliance training. You know, everyone does compliance training these days, but when it comes to online training, I would think most rely on off-the-shelf courses from vendors. So what led you and the compliance team there to want to create your own?
Yeah, great question. The flip off the cuff remark is cost. Working in financial service organization, everything is managed, I jokingly say, down to the nickel, but it's usually down to the penny. And as we built out our program, cost is very well managed, is a good way to put it. And so taking a look at what the vendors have to offer, it's fantastic material, but you start thinking about taking what they give you and being able to integrate into your system, there's still a lot of work involved with it. So we made the decision to start from scratch, a clean sheet of paper, and start by asking a lot of questions about what will resonate with our team. And that compiled with the cost component led us to forge our own path. As we built out the program, we were able to ask questions and quickly adapt and change our offerings to be more effective and to resonate with our core audience, which is the employees.
And certainly that's the key thing, is getting training that's going to resonate with them. Now, you picked a couple of different formats, which we want to talk about both of them. Tell us first about the text exchange and the thinking behind it.
Yeah, the couple examples that you and I discussed and we can share through the details of this podcast is it's a way to share information on how people actually communicate and think about COVID. We all went from an office environment where you could quickly stand up and talk to people to everybody's at home. And we saw the increase. U.S. Bank uses Teams. I know a lot of organizations use Slack or Yammer, but it's all written. And the way communication between employees went pretty much overnight from some face-to-face, some written, some phone, somebody to all remote. And when you start writing things, sometimes there's room for interpretation. You can't use the tone of voice. You can't pick up those different pieces. So what we tried to do is highlight exchanges between employees and how they're actually communicating today. And in the tech story, we show a really unique function where you can type out your response and you see the backspace. And what we did is we showed that backspace. Is that somebody going, ooh, I probably shouldn't write that, or I probably shouldn't say that. Well, that reflects what people are truly thinking. And one of the cornerstones of our department is being authentic, being real, having empathy for the employee, and truly acknowledging like, oh yeah, things are hard right now and you don't always get to say exactly what first comes to mind. There's that self-editing piece. And when you're working in a ethics function where it's, hey, speak up, how do you be able to pull that to life? That was one aspect on using that texting format. It's fascinating to see the response to that, to those pieces, because we inject a little bit of humor. I think you'll see in the texting story, we used GIF. We used, you know, pop-ups, emojis. People were communicating that way. I had a joke I had a conversation with one of my employees this morning. I think it was a 5-minute long conversation over Teams and was purely GIFs, just going back and forth. And so back to your question of how and, you know, why did you choose that? It was a reflection upon, well, this is how people are communicating. We're trying to harness that and make it real and relatable.
Well, I really like that one because, you know, you see somebody who starts to write something, realizes it's not the most prudent thing, deletes and then types it back, and you know, for the and you just see the words being written, and I think it really reflects sort of what our inclination is to write, and then what prudence would argue, and that whole process as the person rethinks the right way to say it. You also have an interesting series in which your chief compliance officer talks with bank leaders while driving in her car. What was the genesis of that idea?
Yeah, that was fantastic. That was it was an idea that came before COVID, and it was a reflection upon our communication efforts. And for most folks who are communicating compliance and ethics functions, they're taking a look at, okay, how do we engage? How do we get people motivated? And essentially, how do you bring these topics to life? And we took a step back and we said, well, how are people consuming information? And the genesis of that is some carpool karaoke. Maybe you've seen it, heard of it, James Corden. I mean, he's fantastic. I love, trust me, my chief compliance officer was not singing. That was her first stipulation. There will be no singing. The second one was I really saw the comedians in cars getting coffee. That's the Jerry Seinfeld Netflix piece. Those two items were kind of the genesis. It's like, okay, how do people consume information? Entertaining short snippets of getting someone in a room, getting someone kind of one-on-one and talking about information. And you'll notice in like the specifically the Jerry Seinfeld piece is that he's not talking about himself for the most part. He is talking to the person, letting them tell their story. And we honed in on that. It's like, we don't want to pound people over the head with our compliance and ethics. You know, here's a policy, here's a rule. It was more of, hey, tell me what's going on in your world. Tell me what's important in your business line. Tell me what's important to you. And then we wove in, like, how do you do that in keeping the ethics, in keeping doing the right thing, one of our core values? How do you keep that in mind? And it just blossomed into this more intimate one-on-one conversation versus that talking head video that you may have seen through some of your other corporate communication efforts.
Well, I liked it. I mean, I think what's nice about it is you bring out a lot of information in a way that's very humanizing. I mean, we all relate to driving around and talking with someone, and as I recall, you can even see a car seat in the back of the car, which you know adds a more personal feel to it. Now, one question I think most people are going to have is how expensive was it to do these videos? I mean, particularly the driving ones. Did you need a lot of expensive gear and to hire crews, or was it something that you could do relatively simply and affordably?
Yeah, as I mentioned in your first question, cost is a main driver of some of the things that we do. We had zero budget for this. So we actually found some individuals within our organization that had a passion for this, doing side gigs. One of our communication partners had essentially GoPros. He had two GoPro 7s and a mic pack, and some editing software that was free. Overall, you can do this really, really cheaply. I think our first setup, our first go around equipment, actually, I sent a note to him this morning on how much that equipment estimated out. And he goes, $3,500 is more than enough to get you started. Not even get you started. You'll have a really good system. A mic pack, a recording device, two GoPro cameras, you're set. And I think the software we use, it's open broadcast software. I'm not trying to, pump them up. That's just what we used, and I think it's free. We're able to use those low cost options to be able to pull together, to pull together videos that look different than that highly, highly polished, highly expensive adventure. I'd even go one step further and say, in our when COVID happened, we couldn't be in person, so we couldn't bring those GoPro cameras, and we didn't do a car in a car. We did side by side screens, and we did that recording with iPads. It's iPads and iPhones, And the rendering and the sound all happened over Apple products. Once again, not saying that Apple's the end all be all for the recording device, but you're able to put together really good products without having to spend an arm and a leg. And one thing I would note to your listening audience is that don't be afraid. Don't let perfect be the enemy of the good. Or there's a saying in there somewhere. But some of those gaffes, some of those, when we were at home, chief compliance officer, she had her cats run through the background, and that turned into something that was catchy. People saw it. It was real life, and they commented on it. Hey, loved your cats going in front of the screen or behind the screen or showing up in the background. And so we didn't edit it out. We left it in there, and people commented on it. So I just share that with folks. I mean, don't worry about it being perfect.
Well, it certainly fits this era where, it's hard for things to be perfect, but it also shows that sometimes the little mistakes and things like that make things more human and relatable. So finally, the big question, what's been the reaction from the workforce?
Fantastic. People have engaged. It's something different. It was not that talking head piece that I was talking about, or it wasn't. It was something just special and was more intimate. One of the examples that I used is early in COVID. My boss, she was used to being in front of people, talking to them either in the rideshare videos or on video or just in person. It was like, gosh, do you remember, the first couple weeks of COVID, and we were just going to flatten the curve, and then we realized in April and May, it's like, okay, this is going to be a little bit longer. And she sat down in her spare bedroom in her basement. She didn't have the power suit on. She didn't have the what she calls her war paint. She didn't have her makeup on. Her hair was pulled back, and she set an iPad down on a folding chair and said, "This is my new office, and here we go. We're going to do this together." And it spoke to people in that real setting. It spoke to people like, "Hey, this is tough, and we're going to do it." And we've continued to be able to engage individuals on that more personal level. And what my team and I are talking about as we're building these videos is looking back at our communication plan. Early on, our communication plan was more of a shotgun approach. We're going to try to hit as many people as possible. U.S. Bank has 70,000 employees. We tried to touch every one of them in one way, shape, or form. Through these more intimate approaches, we're focusing on a smaller audience. We pick our audience, we focus on it, and we try to have more intimate, more personal engagements to really get them engaged versus just clicking through so they can get done with things. So your question of how's the reaction been in employees? It's been fantastic. Kind of like, wow, we have senior leader really talking to me about this. Times are tough. It's opened up a whole new world for us. And specifically, my boss, she sits in a tower. She's a senior leader. She's been able to reach out and touch folks and engage with them. The stereotypical 23-year-old teller in San Diego, who she'd never get a chance to meet one-on-one, is now engaging her through like that approach. And so we're hearing from more and more people with bigger questions, and that ultimately was the goal of this communication and awareness effort.
That's great. That's great to hear. Well, John, thank you for sharing the details of this program and all these insights with us into how you put it all together. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA. I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.